Welcome to the last of the season edition of Sharing Socks, the White Sox season, that is. There will be a long month of extra play that they don't play in. I'm Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen. With me, my son and West Coast correspondent Will. And we are wondering if they're going to make it to 100 losses. Divine intervention. Divine intervention in Boston gave the Sox two wins, which could make the difference. First of all, Luis Robert, opposite field, hits the bottom of the pesky pole, the cheapest home run available in the majors. I think I've hit balls 311 feet.
311. That's got to be not a home run anywhere else.
Oh, it's definitely not anywhere else. No,
Yeah, I
it
was
was
gonna say,
one of 30. You know, StatCast does that thing now of how many places something would be a home run. Yeah, that
I
was
don't
it.
think anything's within 20 feet of that. That is the cheapest home run you can possibly hit in all of Major League Baseball.
And it has,
Probably
you know,
all of
there
minor league baseball.
you have things like even in Fenway, the Green Monster, and it's not that far, but it's so high.
Yeah,
Whereas Pesky,
you still have to
it's a low
have.
fence. It's not even a guy leaps up and makes the catch fence. It reaches down and makes the catch fence. So yeah, so that was that one. And then Ophelia stepping in and ending the game after six innings on Sunday with the Sox ahead by one run. I have a feeling, because I looked at the forecast in Boston when that was going on. It looked like it was going to stop, maybe about 7 o'clock their time. But I have a feeling if that game was of the slightest bit of importance to anybody about other than people counting to 100, the umps would have stayed it out. But it made no difference to Boston. It makes no difference to the White Sox. What it made the difference was umpires were going to miss out on a nice seafood dinner in Boston because it wasn't going to end till 9 o'clock at night, and they'd have to immediately hop on a plane to somewhere. So they're in control. They called.
I mean, I think at that point, you've got two teams with the little E next to their name in the standings, and then you've got a situation where you're talking to ownership, you're talking to the management team, and they're saying, well, if you pick this game back up, we have to cut beer sales anyway. Because
That's
we're
right.
already in the sixth. So you'd have one inning potentially of beer sales. Theoretically, you would have beer sales throughout that whole delay because it's only the sixth inning.
And I'm sure
So,
they did. Yeah.
but there's also a concern in Boston with that of, if you go on a 3 hour delay with beer sales open in Boston, you're talking about your security team having to do a lot more work than they would normally even have to do because they would have been throwing people out of that ballpark left and right after a 3 hour beer break. I mean that's a game you finish in almost any circumstance except the one that they're in, and there's no reason to finish it.
No.
There's
So
just
the
not. I
Sox
don't blame them for
now
that.
come home, three games against Arizona, which has every reason to play for. Diamondbacks are in the fifth slot in the wild card. So this is the second of the three wild card slots, half game ahead of the Cubs. So they could fall back to the Cubs and still be in number six. And only one and a half over Miami, which that's sort of like, we just call them the Jake Berger team. Because for the day, Jake went to Miami and said, boy, am I happy to be playing ball the people who want to play ball again. He's hit like 750. And it's been amazing. And apparently, did you see the advice that he got that changed him from a power hitter, but to a very, very consistent hitter?
I haven't. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Luis Arias said, make the ball hit the bat.
It's close. What the Miami coaches said was, don't swing so hard. Now, you'd think maybe somebody in the White Sox coaching staff could have suggested that at some point. So he wasn't hitting 214, I think it was here.
Do the White Sox even have a hitting coach?
I think they do. They change every year, so I don't know
Yeah, I
who
thought
it
maybe
is
they were
now.
just winging it at this
Well,
point.
somebody from Kansas City, because we bring in everybody from Kansas City because they're desperate to find a team worse than us.
I think it's
So anyhow, that's.
interesting. It's kind of crazy too. So the Padres, who we finish with, are also in this weird position of all of the sudden being an excellent team. They've been terrible the
They're nine
entire
and one
year,
in their last 10 games. Yeah.
and they had just won eight in a row. They are not eliminated. They
No,
are
they're still in there.
almost eliminated. Almost eliminated.
And I think one of those, I looked at the pitching matchups with Arizona. Arizona has no pitching. They just got all this hitting. Their pitching stats show they're about average, but God, these starting pitchers, I think all of them maybe Arizona were five. It's like they're coming from
Well,
Colorado.
not Zach Gallen. I mean,
They're
unless.
not facing Zach Gallen.
Oh, you mean of who they're facing? Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
of the ones that are on the schedule. Now I don't know with the move back, there may be some adjustment there, but they weren't set to face him. It was facing three guys with really high ERAs. But I guess at the end it'll be interesting because in San Diego, normal rotation, Blake Snell will pitch the last game of the year. Now a lot of times you have your superstar last game of the year, by then they'll be eliminated. Yeah, he doesn't pitch. But Snell is the leader for the Cy Young.
Right.
And
And
I think
it's
he's,
a tight race. And it's a
and it's a
tight
tight
race.
race. And I think he's going to want to pitch to solidify his numbers. I don't think he's going to be fearing the White Sox very much. So that's going to be interesting. So if they get to 99 losses by the last game, I think 100 looks it's looking really good.
Well, and it's possible, it's unlikely, but it's possible the Padres will be playing for a wild card spot on the
It,
last
it
day.
it's it's yes, it's
I mean,
extremely unlikely, but it's possible.
everything has to go their way. They have to win out, and everyone else pretty much has to lose out. But you know, the White Sox are going to face two teams with something to play for, which is the beauty of this new scheduling, is that we're not seeing them play the Royals and the Tigers to end the season, which is usually what we're stuck
You know,
with.
an interesting thing, and maybe not this time, but one show we should talk about it. There's a lot of talk about what was dissension, no clubhouse leadership, all the things that have been said about the Sox all season in San Diego.
Big time.
A big lot of articles in the last couple days saying this is a problem that they don't. I don't even know why you need clubhouse leadership, frankly. I don't know what it's even about, although it's cool to see Elvis Andrus kind of work with the young guys. But I don't know that has to be the whole clubhouse. It just was the rookies. He works with Sosa and he worked with Oscar while he was up. But at any rate, yeah, so that's going to be the end of the regular season. But before we take any break and everything, I have two words for you. Joe Kelly.
Yeah, buddy.
You got it. Now, I got to tell that the audience out there, Will texted me and said, Joe Kelly wants to play on my softball team after the season's over. Now, I
As
presume you were Ralph testing out the avocados to see what's ready. And this guy come up, taps you on the shoulder and says, excuse me, but I know that you are a noted local softball player. My name's Joe Kelly. Would you mind if I join your team?
I think he's goofing. I don't think it's going to happen. I do have my mariachi bobblehead Joe right here just to try to will this into existence. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't think that's gonna happen. But that's okay. Fun to think about. We would be the most popular team in the history of rec league softball. Although, you know, having Joe Kelly on the mound doesn't matter as much in 12-inch slow pitch. You know, there's not that much you can do with it
I
to
looked
get
it
that
up,
done.
he's been around long enough and was in the National League originally because he came up with St. Louis. He's got like 100 plate appearances in the majors.
There is no doubt in my mind
And he's
Joe
hit,
Kelly can mash in slow pitch
yeah, now
softball.
he hit 163. That's his career average, which, well, for position players, that's a lot better than Seve Zavala this year, incidentally, pretty damn close to Sosa and Colas. But for a pitcher, 163 is pretty darn good. Few doubles in there.
I think 163 at the major league level equates to 998 in slow pitch softball.
And yes, and the one out will be because it was a line shot that stuck in the third baseman's glove. while he was falling backwards from the impact of
Yeah. It's
the
going to be a guy who was just avoiding the hospital and the ball ended up in his glove somehow. That's all that would be. So we have our AL Central here, which let's just talk about our historically bad division for a second. So my prediction was wrong from last week. I fully admit the Twins are going to have a winning record.
Yeah, we both thought that Cleveland was going to come from behind, but they've collapsed.
So we are the only division in baseball that has a little X and four E's next to the other teams. We are the only division in which every team was eliminated and has been eliminated for a few
Oh,
days
for quite
now.
some time, yeah.
That is unbelievably terrible. You've got the Twins, who are actually maybe kind of good. The only reason I'm saying that is they have a run differential of plus 102. Now, keep in mind, of course, and we talk about this a lot, they're playing the White Sox, they're playing the Tigers, they're playing the
But less,
Royals,
but not as often.
but less.
You know,
So
52 times instead of 76, that's a big difference.
this Twins team, of course, I'm not going to come out and say that they're going to win their first playoff game since I've been alive, essentially, but they may not be a team to totally walk over.
They have some pitching this time.
Yes, and that is going to be the big difference. Is it, you know, they're going to play that sh the wild card series. That's a guarantee. They're going to play in or
And they'll
in the.
play every nut is six, which right now could be Houston, could be Seattle. Texas has a bad week. It could be them. It could be Toronto. All very good teams.
There's no way that they win that series. However, actually, I shouldn't say that. There, you know, it's in a shorter series.
They're at home.
The Twins are going to be at home. It's possible that this team makes it into the divisional series. There is, I will say firmly, there is no way they make it to the ALCS. There
No,
is
no,
just
no.
no way. They are just going to go up against powerhouse offenses. That even though the Twins have some pitching this time, it's not gonna make a huge difference. It's just they're gonna be up against really big things. But you know, playing at home in the wild card series, they're looking
Well,
so
and I
much
think
better.
particularly they can totally align their pitching. So if they want Sonny Gray
Yes.
to pitch game number one, Sonny Gray pitches game number one. Whereas for the three teams in the West, they could go down to Sunday having to
And
win that game.
likely will. I mean,
At least
based
to
on how it
Saturday.
looks,
So
they
they're
are.
not going to be able to arrange their pitching at all. They're going to have to do their best pitchers as soon as they can pitch them to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Twins are going to be able to set this up in their favor. And you know, if they're at home and they're playing a fatigued wild card team that just sneaks in, there's no doubt in my mind that whoever they're playing is better than the Twins.
Oh
Whoever
yeah,
they're
I
playing
agree.
is a better team. You know, the West is just eating itself right now. Those three teams are excellent. Seattle, Texas. Seattle, of course, just got swept by Texas, which was really, really brutal way to come into the final week. Those teams are eating each other up, and their destinies are in their hands. They're playing each other this week. I mean,
Yeah.
the scheduling is really exciting, I actually think, for the last week of baseball. That you know, the Cubs on the other side, they are going to be playing the Braves and the Brewers, which the Cubs have a lot to play for. The Braves and the Brewers actually don't really. The Braves do need to win a couple games this week because what the Braves really don't want to
They never
do
want seed.
is let the Dodgers pass them. And what the Dodgers really don't want to do is let the Brewers pass them, which I believe is a lose out, win out scenario for that to even possibly happen. It might have actually, the ship might have sailed yesterday, actually. I have to double check on that. But the Cubs are playing really good teams. However, they are not going to see, you know, the Cubs probably aren't going to see Spencer Strider unless it's for, you know, a 5-inning warm up. You're probably not going to see Woodruff or Peralta unless it's a shorter inning tune-up for the playoffs. But the Brewers are in a position, they're going to play the wild card series. They're going to be able to align their people. The Brewers are in a
Right.
great spot. The Brewers have three great starters. And I mean, these guys are really good in Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns. They're going to be able to start that wild card series with those three guys in whatever order they want.
Somehow they've got to score a run, but
They got to score, but with those guys, you only got to score a couple. And they are just in a great position to make it to the NLDS. Now, the big issue there is whoever's waiting for them, which will most likely be the Dodgers. They got the week off. So they are also going to be able to rest and recuperate and shape up a pitching rotation that is not nearly as advantageous. I mean, for the Dodgers, the biggest thing going in their favor is that the Brewers are going to pitch those three guys right away. So in a dream world for the Dodgers, you need the Brewers to sweep that series, throwing Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, so that you're not going to have to face all those guys in order when you play them. The Braves are sitting pretty, the
I
Braves.
think it works out that you might face the first two,
Right.
because you got if Burns is game number one, then he has game number two, he's off. Travel day, he's off. That's two. Game number three, he's off. Travel day before the next series, that's four. He's on regular rest for first game of the next round.
Yeah, which will probably be Woodruff instead of Burns, but yeah,
But they
you're
both
gonna.
they both would be one and two because it's the same rest situation because of those two travel
Yeah.
days.
Or Peralta would. Which is going to be interesting because you're going to see if the Brewers make it through their wild card series, which I think they will. You're potentially going to have a Woodruff Kershaw game one of the NLDS, which is very exciting. I mean, that's pretty cool playoff baseball right there. After that, we won't talk about.
No, that because of the White Sox tie-in, we should, because it looks like game number two is Lance Lynn,
Yeah,
who is back on. His last two games, he's been very good.
I was there last night for the walk-off win. I don't If you get a chance, you should check out. They mic'd Miguel Rojas at shortstop, and while he was mic'd, very hard ground ball was hit to him, and he said, "Hold on, guys, just got to make this play real quick." While he's making the play, and then they're like, "Oh, good thing you did that." And he goes, "Yeah, good thing, because I don't want Lynn to be mad at me. I do not want Lynn to be mad at me." And I'm like, "Oh, wow. Lynn hasn't been around long, and he's already got Miggy Rowe a little afraid of making an error out there," which is fun. But Lynn, I mean, if you're a Dodger fan, Lynn was a hell of an acquisition from the White Sox. I mean,
Kelly's been good too. I mean, Lynn is a much bigger deal, but Kelly's been good when he
Kelly's been
wasn't hurt.
solid if he can stay healthy. Lynn has had one and a half bad outings, and other than that, has been stellar. I mean, really good. He's going out. He's throwing six or seven innings each time. He's doing the Lance Lynn thing. He's going to give up a home run. Yet last night there was a guy on base, but there's usually not a guy on base even. So Lance Lynn, I mean, the Dodgers are thanking the White Sox right now for what's going on. That really looked like a good deal. I mean, they got a great deal for Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly. I mean, that was super smart. And it's fun to watch these guys who were on the miserable White Sox go other places and excel. The Cleveland picked up Giolito at the last second, essentially for free. He's not going to be in Cleveland next year. But Giolito has not really shined. But Ronaldo Lopez, on the other hand, has been making a case for Ronaldo Lopez, and
Oh, yes.
we've kind of had this feeling about him for quite some time. I think if you go back and listen to early episodes of this podcast, we talk a lot about Ronaldo Lopez's natural abilities. The guy, when he is on, has wicked stuff. I mean, he is strong. He has the skill. I think he's a guy who very much needs a great pitching coach. I could see Ronaldo Lopez staying in Cleveland. Cleveland, as we know, does better with pitchers than almost anyone else. And Ronaldo Lopez is the kind of guy where I think with the right pitching coach, I think he could be an elite closer. He's got that kind of stuff. I don't see a world where Ronaldo Lopez goes back to being a great starter, but I do see a world where Ronaldo Lopez is an elite closer somewhere in Major League Baseball in the next couple
Yeah,
years.
very, very possible.
And he's got a good work ethic. He's got tenacity. I do think that. We do need to take our break here. We're running a little long. Got caught up in baseball talk, which is what we're supposed to do here. So I'm not apologizing. But hang out and we will be right back on Sharing Socks. Welcome back to Sharing Socks. In the first half, we talked all things miserable about the AL Central and our journey to 100 losses. What else you got for me, Geezer?
Well, the can't go without making a back reference here to what is now a month old, the shooting in the park.
Right.
This morning, the Tribune had a front page piece that said very little. Basically, the cops aren't saying anything. They did get a quote of sorts from somebody who was not authorized to be a quote, talking about how the woman with the injuries is not cooperating with police. And I think the suspicion, I mean, whether it was the Fat Folds, which is the great story, sneaking the gun that way or
Great
not,
story.
I think they've been suspicious of her from the beginning. They just haven't been able to put it together. But the cops are saying
But
that they've
here's
also
the
been saying
thing.
the cop that the game should have been called off. But
Well,
as far as
yes.
finding out the cause, I mean, it's insane that it came from outside the park. And I have suspicions. They were on this thing inside the park, had to be her, could have been somebody else, but it looked like her. And the cops ruled out outside the park. Those are two bullets. You can't have two bullets come a foot together from a mile away. It doesn't work,
No, not on the
But
trajectory that
out
would
comes
have to
Jerry
happen.
Reinsdorf and says, no, impossible that it was in the park. We have incredibly great security. It had to be from outside. And suddenly the cops weren't saying that anymore. Now, Reinsdorf is saying it because his liability goes way, way down if it's some act of God bullet flying out from 49th Street or something. And also, it doesn't scare people in the park very much. Well, that's not going to happen again. We're okay there. So it's the liability, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd stop. Also, the cops weren't saying anything. And all on our security, you talk about his security being bad. I wonder how many of the investigators in whatever that precinct is are going to have really, really nice season tickets next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not making any accusations. I'm just saying one wonders why suddenly the idea of it being inside the park disappeared after Reinsdorf, who is not noted for being an honest person, comes out and decides on his own that no, I couldn't have come from inside the park. Now that's
Yeah.
probably not the case, but it's weird that he had such influence that all of a sudden talk of it inside the park just stopped, and it's been stopped for weeks since he did that.
So this is an Agatha Christie level mystery.
It is.
I just saw Haunting in Venice, the latest of the Agatha Christie films. I think there is one person on Earth who can truthfully solve this, and it is Hercule Poirot. And
With his little gray cells.
I don't think he's going to come out and help us out. I mean, the big thing for me is just the easy thing here, which is where's the gun? Where's the gun? If she got a gun in through the Fat
Yes,
Folds,
that's certainly a good
which
question.
is a great story, as you said, it's a great theory. Where is it? I mean, if she's there and there's a bullet in her and there's a bullet in the lady next to her, where's that gun? And how have they not found that gun? Because you don't see anyone in the video run up to a trash can. You don't see them. I mean, I would assume that if they passed it off to anybody, that person would say, "This is the gun." My theory, which I've had for a little while here, I'm sticking with, which is that it is a discharged security weapon of the Chicago White Sox. I just don't see. But then you add in this factor of she's not cooperating. Why would she not be cooperating? But as we said, there's always dirty things at play here. Maybe she has been persuaded to not cooperate from either
Well, she got a lawyer. She immediately got a lawyer. And the Trib article today said that he is a personal injury lawyer. So she's lining up to sue.
Which,
So.
why wouldn't you get a lawyer? If all these articles come out that say you snuck a gun in through your fat folds, first thing I would be is like, I need a legit
Of
person
course,
for
for
this.
all we know, this woman in question weighs 112 pounds. We don't
Yeah,
know who she
we don't know.
is.
But you watch the video, there doesn't seem to be a reaction to the noise of a gunshot.
No.
Now, those are some serious fat folds. If they can not only pull a trigger, but they can muffle entirely the sound of a gunshot in
Well,
a
the cops never
otherwise
even said
quiet stadium.
what kind of bullets these are. I mean, they
Right.
couldn't have been a little 22 or a Derringer or some silly thing like that. And if they come out and go, "What's a 45?" Well, then you know somebody heard something.
Yeah, and honestly, no matter what. If you're sitting in front of a lady who's got a gun in her tummy and the gun discharges, you're hearing that gunshot. You are still hearing that gunshot loud and clear. And you just don't see that, which makes me think not that it came from outside the park, but that it came from some numbnut inside the park who's got a gun working security. I don't know how this would have happened. I don't know how this would have discharged. I don't have any idea, but crazier things have happened, and I just don't know. This is a great mystery. I mean, the one thing we know now is that the White Sox did the absolute wrong thing in not stopping the game. That's the one thing we know. We had two people shot in a baseball
And
stadium,
the
and they
acting
didn't
police
stop the
chief
game.
just said that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge, huge, disgusting move by the White Sox. It's just absurd. It eliminates all trust amongst your fans that this is going to be a safe environment when you hear that people are being shot in the ballpark. I mean, they're doing $1 tickets on Thursday. I don't know that I would go. I mean, $1 ticket day, they're probably going to work with bare bones staff that day, and you got people discharging tummy guns theoretically. This is just a disaster on top of all the rest of the
I
disasters.
think the fear on the other side of we call off this game right now and come up with whatever reason we can possibly come up with, you do have the distinct possibility of panic that people are going to get hurt.
Yes. Yeah. But you don't necessarily have to stop the game and say a gun was fired in the stadium. You don't have to stop it and say that because that causes panic. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about a White Sox game. So the idea that there would be hordes of people running anywhere and you would have like a stampede scenario, pretty hard to do with
But
only like.
it was a bigger than usual crowd because they had that concert after. It
Right,
was
right,
Friday
right.
night and they have concert and fireworks and all that kind of stuff.
Which is
So
exactly why they didn't stop the game, which is exactly why it's disgusting. I
well,
mean,
they canceled the concert.
right, which is just crazier. It's just they did everything wrong. They made every wrong decision you can possibly make. And it seems like there's going to be virtually no repercussions for it, except for the lawsuit that's going to come from the lady who was just plastered all over the internet that she had a gun in her stomach.
Well, nobody said who she is or shown a picture or anything. I've never seen
But
anything that identifies her.
still, it's not a kind thing to have said as a possible theory. Eventually we're going to know who you are. I'm still leaning on the security guard discharged a weapon
Very
theory.
possible. Very
I
possible.
just don't see, and it could have been a security guard or it could have been a Chicago police officer,
Well,
which
I'd
is.
say there's one of our regular contributors on Southside Sox is a state trooper, and he said that the story that off-duty police officers are allowed to bring their guns into the park is not true.
Yeah, that does not sound true. Yeah. I can't imagine that to be the case, that they could bring their duty gun into the ballpark when they're off duty. I think it was likely an on-duty person, which makes it even worse. But I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know that we're ever going to know the truth of this. I'm very excited for the ESPN 30 for 30 or the Netflix documentary called Tummy Gun or whatever that will be. I will obviously be watching all three episodes in one sitting. But yeah, I don't know. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And it just adds another level to this garbage season and fan experience that we've had. You are not going to the dollar game. I do know someone going to the dollar game. I'm honestly surprised, because we know our friend Jerry Reinsdorf very well here, that the Thursday game isn't $100 tickets with $500 parking, because the guy is just awful to his fans. But I guess, when you're forced to move a game, you finally decide that it's better to have people in the park buying $12 beers than it is to have them at home.
Yeah, I mean that's the concept, all right.
But you would think that would always be the concept for a team that
And
is
it could be
struggling to draw
interesting.
crowds.
Weather forecast right now, Thursday is supposed to be nice for the dollar game, but Wednesday is supposed to be lousy. So if Wednesday gets stormed out, you could have a double header because they have to play that game because they're, after the Sox said that they're
Yeah,
Arizona
Arizona
sold,
has
they
to
can't
play.
play.
Yeah.
So I could have a double header, $1 free parking. That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. Of course, knowing Jerry Reinsdorf, it's going to be a day-night doubleheader. So you got to leave the park and then pay another dollar to get back in. And only the night game will have parking for free. So if you're going to the day game, you got to pay $20. And then you can leave your
It's
car
30
for
now,
free.
isn't
I don't even know. I don't know
it?
out there. But yeah, probably preferred parking is at least 30. I don't know about regular parking. But either way, well, it'll be interesting to see if anybody's attending any of these games for the rest of the year. I just don't know why you would. You've got actual legit baseball happening on the north side, as much as it pains me to say that during our
Yes, it's
championship
very painful. I
window.
keep watching the wild cards and hoping, come on, Miami, Miami, you can get over them. Come on,
I
come on, come
know.
on, come on.
It's fun.
And
It's
I really wanted, of course, because your niece and nephew have become big Bengals fans, as they should. They live in Cincinnati. Was for the Reds to do better. They just had a terrible weekend with Pittsburgh. I mean, blew a 9-run lead, among other things. They're
Yeah, they
still only
did.
2.5 games out of a wild card, so it's not impossible, but they've really hurt themselves.
Well, what's made this season so fun, outside of the White Sox, which has not been fun, is we've seen a lot of teams that were not expected to be good yet be good, which always makes for a way more interesting baseball season.
Yeah,
You've
it
got
does.
this is a season where you expected pretty much everything to be over and done with at this point, with the exception of the AL East race. And what we're seeing is quite a few teams that have a lot to play for in the last week, and it's because of these overachieving teams, the Reds being one of them, the
Well,
Marlins being
even
one
in
of
the
them,
AL East,
the
the Orioles,
Diamondbacks.
very much a
Well,
surprise team.
the Orioles, who were, I think, by all predictions, expected to be a third or fourth place team, not to be bad, but in a very good AL East, to be your third or fourth place team, they're likely going to win this division. That's still a race. Tampa's on their heels, but they're not that close to their heels. And then you've got Toronto still fighting for this thing. The AL West is very exciting. And the NL is very exciting because you're seeing overachieving young players who play with speed and play with fundamentals who are keeping these teams in. And usually those things fizzle out by August. Like, usually, if your team is a lot of young guys, you're going to fizzle out by August because they're not used to 162 games of that level of competition. When you're a rookie or you're in your second year, you're still kind of adjusting to those things. People don't realize how brutal this workload really is. And Usually those teams are fizzled out by now, but here we are. We're in the last week of September, and we're talking about a Reds team that wasn't expected to be good for a couple more years. Talking about a Marlins team that wasn't expected to be good for a couple more years. Talking about a Diamondbacks team that wasn't expected to be good for a couple more years. So it has been a very, very fun baseball season, and you still technically have the Giants in it. You still technically have the Padres in it. The Phillies, I think, are pretty much locked in at this point. They're not technically locked in, but they're definitely in the driver's seat for the wild card. And then, with the exception of the AL Central, baseball has been very exciting this year. We'll just touch on this. The new rules have seemed to be a great benefit to the
Definitely.
sport in general. They're seeing attendance records all over the place late in the
Well,
season.
not all over the place. Let's be clear, not all
That's
over
yes, that's true. I just mean we're seeing a lot of them, which
the
is very exciting. We're seeing the average game time is way down. I was at a 10-inning game last night that was 2 hours and 54 minutes, which, if this were 2007, that game would have been 5 hours and 25 minutes. So very exciting stuff. We have seen a little bit on the other side of games being a little too short. I think there was a game in the AL last week that came in around the 140, 145 mark, which, it's work to go to a baseball game if you're a fan. It takes time, it takes money, it takes energy. You get there, you don't necessarily want to be going home in an hour and
Oh,
45 minutes.
no. I never heard anybody complain about going to a Mark Burley game.
True, true. And, he tended to throw in 2 hours, 205, 206. He's a fast pitcher as well. I do hear a lot of complaints when the games get closer to that 2 hour, 210, 215 mark. Fans are a little bit like, oh, because ticket prices are very expensive across the league now for the most part. And you're talking about people who've saved up a lot of money, and they go to the game, they're paying $15 for beers, and all of a sudden, you're an hour and 40 minutes in and you're in the eighth inning, and there has been some pushback on that. That said, I would much rather have that than the other type of griping, which is why is this three to
Yeah,
one
and
game
I think
4 hours
that's going to be
long?
very minor griping, especially over time, because you're not losing any action.
Correct,
You're
correct.
getting
It's
as many minutes of actual baseball
yeah.
being played as you did in the 3 hour game.
Yeah, the complaint is not, we're about the actual game. The complaint is just about like, oh, I came out with my buddies for this full day thing, and now it's ending up being a 2 hour thing.
No,
And
those guys are complaining because they got to the seventh inning by an hour and 20 minutes and beer sales got cut off. That's what's really
exactly.
going there.
Well, and that is. And I know I have a buddy who works in analytics for a team, and he said that they're losing about $1 million or $1.5 million per game because of the pitch clock. Because you get to the bottom of the seventh so much faster. Some teams cut off in the seventh, some teams cut off in the eighth. You're getting there a lot faster now. And you're seeing a lot of beer sale losses. So it's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the teams feel moving forward. I know they're adjusting the rules slightly for the postseason. The pitch clock's going to be a little bit longer in the
Oh,
postseason.
I thought they changed that back. I can
Oh,
clearly be wrong.
I thought that they had officially changed it to a 20-second clock and 25 for the
Oh, okay.
postseason,
I may have missed the latest switch.
but maybe we're both wrong. Maybe if you're listening to this podcast, comment on it and tell us we're both fools. But I mean, that was less about beer sales and more from the pitcher's requests of having to pitch so quickly in high leverage situations, which I do understand. I think it's actually smart to. Because you're talking about adding 5 seconds. You're not talking about taking the clock away. I think it is the correct decision, if they made it, to give 5 more seconds on each of those things for the postseason. I mean, you worked this hard to get here. I think it's probably better in those high leverage, high pressure situations to give these guys a little bit more time to make these decisions. You don't want anything. The other thing is you really don't want anything in a playoff game to be a pitch clock violation on either the batter or the pitcher. You really, really don't want to see that in the postseason. And that's when guys are going to be very nervous. There's going to be tons of pressure. They're going to want to take a little more time. You don't want to get into a situation where you're in, you know, a game seven and a guy gets a called strike three because he wasn't facing the pitcher in time. That's garbage. That's the wrong way for that to go down. So I hope they did do that because a little bit more time makes sense. And you've got wiggle room, you know, you've shaved off like over a half hour on average of games. So, you know, extend that clock a little bit, put 15 minutes back on for the postseason. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's totally fair. We are out of time for this week, though. Do you have any final thoughts before we...
Well, I said at the top, this will be our last one of the regular season. By the time we chat again on here, it will be in the playoffs, and we'll have nothing White Sox to talk about. But at that point, I think we can take a look forward to what can happen with the White Sox as soon as the day after the World Series is over.
Yeah, and there's a lot. And look at those there's things. A lot that can happen. Yeah. There's going to be quite a bit. And of course, we'll be here to talk playoff baseball, even if it's not White Sox. We're going to see a lot of guys who were White Sox in the playoffs.
And we always do.
We always do. In fact, most years, it seems like when you get to the World Series, you're like, oh, a former White Sox versus a former White Sox. He had an ERA over 12 with us, and now he's got an ERA of 1.23, and he's averaging 11 strikeouts.
World Series with Lance Lynn pitching to Jose Abreu.
Could absolutely happen. And oh my gosh, can you imagine? Can you imagine a high leverage World Series scenario where Joe Kelly is pitching to Alex Bregman in the World Series? I mean, if that doesn't make your mouth water as a baseball fan, I don't know what does. And we are right back there. That could absolutely happen again. But we will see you next time for some playoff baseball. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Sharing Socks.